On this day of Auld Lang Syne, whatever that is, we look back and look ahead. 2025 was a pretty darn good year if you had money in the stock market, but not as good as last year. 2025 was a pretty darn busy year for the Fargo Fire Department. We'll tell you what they were busy doing. And 2026 figures to be a pretty darn busy year with Minnesota fraud investigations as Congress today calls on the governor and the attorney general to testify on Capitol Hill. Hoo boy, things are going to be interesting in the new year 2026. Good afternoon, my friend. It's great to be here with you on the final day of 2025. I don't know why these days get me in a happy mood. I'm not sure if I'm excited that 2025 is leaving, excited that 2026 is on the way, and who knows what promise a new year might hold. I don't know if I'm excited that there's 19 football games today and about 100 of them tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure. I know one thing. I'm always happy when I get to hang out with my man, Addison Loger, our producer, who has done a phenomenal job all year long, who's made this show go when I've been here and when I haven't. So, Addison, happy new year to you, my friend, and thank you for everything you did for me and the show and everybody around here all year long.
Yeah, happy new year right back at you. I'd say it was a pretty good year, all things considered. No one even cried. Very good. Very good.
Well, I don't know. There were times on this show when I got choked up.
We did get close.
Yes. I forget what it was not too long ago. Oh, when my buddy died, I had a heart attack just out of nowhere a couple of weeks ago. I remember kind of doing a little tribute to friends and that kind of thing and being, I don't think cry was the right word, but dang was I choked up. So there were a few tears shed in the studio for sure, but some tears of joy for sure. And the new year will hold a lot more of that. I have to let you all know, too, that it appears as though I've been underselling the talents of Addison, because today I'm walking by the WDAY radio studio, and who's the featured guest on the afternoon show down there? None other than our friend Addison.
I'm a popular guy.
Well, I guess so. I may need to give you a little bit more oxygen on this program. What were you talking about? I know you're a man of many talents and well-spoken and entertaining. What were you doing today?
We were talking about cars and cheeseburgers. We were talking about transmission and fried pickles. So,
okay. Well, Jason Berg was filling in for Jay today, so I can see it. So are you a car guy? Like, are you knowledgeable on vehicles?
No, but I have slowly been learning after having to do so much work on my current car. Just a little bit every now and then about oil and stuff.
But all right.
I'm learning. It's been a learning experience.
Well, I know you're something of an expert on cheeseburgers because I've seen you go after a bag of food before, too.
I do. I am the cheeseburger expert around here. I'll put that title on myself. Well, no one likes a cheeseburger like I do.
I'm guilty of something of the same, so I'm with you there. But in all seriousness, my friend, thank you for everything you do for us here every day on the show and at the station all year long. And I am looking forward to riding with you into a new adventure coming up next week. We've got one more day on Friday when we'll be here, and then we'll be tackling the 9 o'clock slot. And that's where Scott Hannon is right now, and there's a pretty big audience there, so I hope they'll stick around and catch our act starting on Monday.
I hope so, too. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Plans tonight or no?
Sleep.
Okay.
Maybe after watching, all the New Year's fireworks and stuff, but mainly sleep.
That's right. We can do fireworks tonight.
Yes. And lucky me, because of where my apartment is, actually darn near right across the street and the direction my living room window faces, I can just sit on my couch and watch all the rest of the fireworks from Fargo.
Okay.
So I don't even have to leave.
Yeah, we hear them too. We've got a few people down south of town. We're almost out in the country a little bit and far enough out of town where people get a little goofy on these holidays. So we'll hear them tonight as well. And we don't have to worry so much about fire issues because there's snow on the ground. So I guess that's a good thing. All right. Well, I am thankful, my friend, to you for listening to the program all year long, and it's a compliment that you pay us and me when you spend some time here hanging with us. Have tried to, every time we've sat down in the chair here this year in 2025, given you a full effort and worked hard to prepare a show of interesting things that I think you might want to know about. And the same is true today. I know this is a day when a lot of people are kind of taking it easy and cutting some corners, but I have as busy and as packed a show as I can remember having in a long time. We've got one guest joining us today on the show and a whole bunch of very interesting talkers. I did a little research project as well on a couple of things today, including the lyrics to that song, Auld Lang Syne. So I will answer for you the perpetual mystery of the song, Auld Lang Syne, and tell you what they're really singing and why they sang a different version in It's a Wonderful Life, which we watch in our household every year. It's sort of, if I don't want to sleep on the couch, I have to watch It's a Wonderful Life. Not really true. I enjoy the movie. We watch it once a year. But I've always kind of wondered, like, what are they singing? Like, is it old Lang's? What is this? So I can tell you the words and what it all means. So we'll do this here today. Plus, my big question of the day for you is, all the major newspapers do this thing right around this time of year where they name a person of the year. So I want to know, who is your person of the year? Any context here, any person, it only has to make sense to you. Who is your person of the year? I imagine a lot of us would say President Trump. That's one that comes to mind for restoring some semblance of rational decision-making and order to the presidency and of the country, although he has stirred up the drink a few times, no doubt about that. But my goodness, are we in a much better position going into 2026 than we were going into 2025. So who is your person of the year? 701-271-1100. Let's get to it here with the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines with a rapid-fire rundown on a busy and eventful, you might not think so, but it sure has been, New Year's Eve Day. We start with the almanac for today. And on this December 31st, our average high is 19, average low 3, record high 44 back in 1904, record low 32 below in 1967. And if you're like me, you're hearing 44 was the record high. You're like, wow, we haven't had a 50-degree day ever on New Year's Eve. We've had them in December, we've had them in January, but not on December 31st. We haven't even really been close to 50 degrees on this day. Interesting stuff. Sunrise this morning was at 8:12, sunset at 4:48, and we will gain 50 seconds of daylight today. How about that? 4:48, the sun will go down today. It was a down day on the market, and I'm told that you get a little bit of everything on the last couple of trading days of the year. One market source I saw today said people try to get the fancy names on their ledgers on like the 29th and 30th. And then on the 31st, they sell the losers. So people who look at what stocks they owned at the end of the mutual funds, what stocks they owned at the end of the year, doesn't look so bad if you got rid of your losers. So there's a lot of selling today. Not a lot of volume, but the Dow was down 303 points, S&P 500 down 50, NASDAQ down 177 points. Coming up in a little bit, I will tell you what happened with the markets this year and how that compares to our returns over the last 7 years, going back to midway through President Trump's first term. So we'll do that coming up here in a little bit. WTI crude oil today down 50 cents at $57.40. Gold down $54. Silver down $6.93, about 9% today. Silver is in a roller coaster ride. Bitcoin today, amazingly, the crazy rides are in gold and silver right now. Bitcoin just kind of tracks right along at about $88,000, which is where it is again today. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas, $2.83 a gallon, up a penny from yesterday. North Dakota average price, $2.56. South Dakota, $2.60. Minnesota, $2.65. I still have not, with my own two eyes, mine eyes have not seen the glory of a 199 gas sign around the metro. I understand there are a couple. I haven't seen him yet. Hoping that happens. Fleet Farm went up 202 to 205 overnight. So not going to see it down there, at least not today, it doesn't look like. All right, let's get into some of the stories making headlines here on New Year's Eve 2025. The first note comes to us from the new Fargo fire chief. And he got broke in over this past year, Gary Lorenz. And he told our newsroom today that they have responded to about 14,600 fire calls. The majority, about 75%, are emergency medical services related. So motor vehicle accidents, cardiac arrest, or any type of medical assistance. And the story does not say if that's more or less than last year. But I believe that in past stories like this, we've seen a gradual uptick in those over the last few years. So I'll let you know if I find out more about that. Also in the news today, a 9-year-old was sent to the hospital after being bitten by 2 Rottweilers multiple times near Chaffee, North Dakota. Cass County Sheriff's Office and Castleton Ambulance responded to a home around 4 o'clock yesterday. Authorities say the child has extensive injuries and the dogs have been impounded. The dogs are not owned by the child's parents. So this is a story that is going to need a few more details here. Be careful if you're going out on the ice, reports Valley News Live, because 3 vehicles broke through the ice on Pelican Lake. No, not that Pelican Lake, the one up in Crow Wing County in northern Minnesota, but 3 incidents over the last 24 hours of people breaking through the ice. No lives were lost. We're thankful for that, but looks like a couple of vehicles and maybe an ATV met their match on the not-so-frozen pond in Crow Wing County. So I thought that was an interesting detail there. Valley News Live reports a canine blue, a canine member of the Fargo Police Department, has worked his final shift. So we say congratulations and a job well done there, Mr. Dog. Blue was born in Slovakia in April of 2016, joined the Fargo Police Department in June of 2017, and worked with his handler, Sergeant Sam Bowman. Over the years, it's amazing what this dog has helped do. 1,000 times the dog was called into action, more than 40 pounds of narcotics, $65,000 in cash, and 119 arrests credited to K9 Blue. Good job. He's such a good boy. And now he's drifting off into retirement, where hopefully it'll be, I don't know, chasing rabbits and milk bones and whatever else. So that dog has earned it. Star Tribune reports today the Trump administration's pledge to freeze $185 million in child care payments to Minnesota could actually hurt people that it's not intended to. Boy, you knew these stories were going to come, didn't you? The Trump administration says, yeah, we're going to start freezing money to Minnesota. We had this thing figured out. Well, now state officials are saying, oh, well, that might hurt some people other than the Somali people. And so Trump is such an idiot, right? We see this all the time there. It is worth pointing out that federal funding helps cover the cost of child care for about 23,000 children and 12,000 families each month in the state of Minnesota. This is a really interesting conversation because on one hand, I'm glad we have some of these programs so that parents can be able to put food on their table. On the other hand, I do wonder sometimes, don't you? Like if there was no public assistance for childcare, if it would force more parents to figure out how to stay at home and make things, you know, and be with their kids as they grow a little more. Just an honest thing. I mean, we've kind of done both things. So we, in the past, we've had people watch our kids a little bit, maybe not necessarily while we work, but there have been times when you've needed some help and, you know, parents-in-law and things like that have been able to help there. But interesting, the federal funding helps cover the cost of child care for 23,000 kids in Minnesota. Congressional Republicans, speaking of Minnesota and all this stuff going on, have called, they say they've invited, it's not a subpoena, but they have called on Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and the Attorney General Keith Ellison to come to Capitol Hill to testify about the ongoing social services fraud going on in the state. Well, if they're not being forced, do you think they're going? I'm going to say no. This is coming a day after the Trump administration said it was going to freeze all that money to Minnesota. The chair of the Government Reform and House Oversight Committee, James Comer, has asked Walz and Ellison to appear before the panel on February 10th. Comer said in a statement today, Minnesota's governor and attorney general have either been asleep at the wheel or complicit in a massive fraud involving taxpayer dollars in Minnesota. So, isn't that interesting? There is also a hearing scheduled for January 7th to feature Minnesota state officials who sounded the alarm or investigated the fraud. So, this is going to be a lot of fun. I wish they could have them in back-to-back days. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I don't think that's going to happen. And finally, a little bit of pop culture and entertainment news. Addison, you may be tuned in a lot better than me on this one, but Valley News Live reports that fans of the hit series Stranger Things in Fargo are gearing up for a communal viewing experience. I don't know if that means they're going to, like, draw blood and, like, sign some sort of oath or what that is. I think they're just all going to watch this show together. But they're dropping, apparently, the final episode of the series tonight. And at Marcus Theaters at West Acres, all five scheduled showtimes have officially sold out. Are you a fan of Stranger Things?
So I've never seen it, but just about everyone I know in the last couple of days has been talking about it. I actually had a conversation with Ronnie Lee about it yesterday. So everyone is excited. I know that about it, but it's not a show I've seen myself.
Now, I watched, I think I was in a hotel room somewhere and watched like maybe one of the episodes or a half a show or something, and it just, I guess I picked it up midway through and I didn't understand what all was happening, so I just kind of said whatever. But my daughter's a big fan, and it's a streaming thing. You can't watch it on CBS or whatever, so it's going to skew a little bit younger. And so and maybe it's an HBO. It might be one of those cable things anyway. But anyway, They apparently are prepared to welcome many nerds, egos, and upside downers tonight. Those must be names of people that are parts of the characters or something like that. Anyway, the viewing party will begin at 7 o'clock tonight and continue through the early morning hours. I don't know what they're going to do there. If it's going to be, if they're going to sing songs together or take an offering, I don't know what they're going to do, but apparently they're locking in for a fairly long night. So anyway, interesting stuff there. So if you are a fan of the Stranger Things thing, tell us about it. Like, what's the gist of the deal? We could Google it, but it'd be more fun to hear somebody tell us what the story is. 701-271-1100. And those, friends, are some of the stories making headlines here on New Year's Eve 2025. When we return, is it Auld Lang Syne? Is it just odd? What is it that we're singing on New Year's Eve as people look back on the cups of kindness yet and the acquaintances made over the last 12 months? I have the answers for you, and we will illuminate said issue when we come back on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. All right, road's a little dicey here today, and when those things happen, you got to make sure you got the right people on your side. That's why you really need to know the gang at Custom Truck and Auto Shine. Every time bad weather hits and things get a little dicey on the roadways, they spring into action. When a collision is out of your control, their full-service body shop will get you back on the road in a jiffy. Visit CustomFargo.com, Custom Truck and Auto Shine. Not just shining up your vehicle, they'll help get it back in good shape on the road as well. All right, so if you're like me, you've been wondering, so what do those words in the song Auld Lang Syne mean anyway? And what are the words? I don't know what they are. So I did a little research for years, so I found out. Auld Lang Syne, spelled A-U-L-D, Lang, L-A-N-G, and Syne, S-Y-N-E. It's a Scottish phrase that means old long since. So translated loosely, it means days gone by, or for old time's sake. It was a song written by a guy named Robert Burns back in 1788, basically an anthem to remember old friends and reflecting on experiences from the past. They sing it at funerals and wakes and things like that there, too. So it's kind of one of those songs that makes you remember, you know, that you shouldn't forget your old friends and the time you spent together there. So it is supposed to be an S sound, not a Z. So Auld Lang Syne. And the lyrics are, should auld acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind, should auld acquaintance be forgot and Auld Lang Syne. And then the chorus, which may actually be a little different than you think you've heard it, the actual words are, for Auld Lang Syne, my Joe, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll talk a cup o' kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne. So you might be hearing this and going, wait a minute, in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, they didn't sing exactly that way. So what are those lyrics? Well, I looked that up too, because in my house we watch that movie every year, And I'm like, I don't think that's exactly how. So in the film, they sang it, should auld acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind, should auld acquaintance be forgot in days of auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. So my dear, my Joe, it's kind of interchangeable there. And a little piece of trivia on this whole thing, that sometimes if you see this song sung in a different way, it's because of a copyright battle over the music. And the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, fell into the public domain for a while, and the rights to the music, including the arrangements used, were still owned, and some versions had to swap the music for generic instrumentals to avoid paying royalties. But I guess not the version that we typically see. So anyway, if you've been wondering, what are they really singing anyway? Well, now you know. 431, Steve Hallstrom Show, here on this New Year's Eve day. Hope that you don't forget your old acquaintances or your old acquaintances or any of the acquaintances, and that you are going to get many opportunities to connect with those people special to you in the new year as well. 431, time to head to the newsroom. If you or someone you know is looking for an apartment, check out Cornerstone Rentals in Fargo. They've got all the good stuff. Washer and dryer hookups, pet-friendly units, plenty of space, and rent is under $1,000. Hard to find that these days. And they're family-owned. Cornerstone Rentals owners live right here. And there's an on-site manager. You call them at 1 in the morning, you actually get a real person. Find out more about what they can do for you if you're looking for a property, place to stay for a little while or a long time. Cornerstone Rentals, 701-793-7368, 793-7368, 793-7368. I grew up on a hog and cattle farm in central Minnesota, and a big piece of my heart is still in the farm. I love talking to farmers. I love being out in the countryside. And when issues of agriculture come up that seem like they're pretty interesting, I try to hit on those, because I think those of us even living in town or the city that maybe don't even have any ties to the farm community really need to know what's happening there, because so much of what happens here in town starts on the farm with our food supply and our economic drive as well. And I'm very thankful to have on the line with me today, the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, a farmer who's become a friend over the last few years, Trigvi Skolnes. Trigvi farms over across the river in Minnesota, over in Clay County. And he's always been kind enough to join me when he's got a few minutes and there's something to visit about. Trigvi, great to talk to you again, my friend. Hope you had a great Christmas. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for making a few minutes for me today.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year.
Thanks so much. How did it all go today or this year for harvest? How did your yields come in, and what was the kind of general results of what happened with the crop this year?
I guess I've got to say the crops were average to above average, maybe much above average. Seemed like the smoke had a lot of adverse effects on the soybean crop. Corn crop and sugar crop didn't seem to mind it at all. They came through with gangbusters, and I know you've talked about it on your show. The American crystal crop was very large.
Yeah, I heard that. It was a monster crop for them. I'm thankful that you brought up the smoke again. I'd kind of forgotten about that, but some farmers I had talked to this summer said when you have that haze there, it does impact the amount of heat units that we can get on that field. So thanks for the reminder there. Had that not happened, Trigvi, what do you think the result would have been?
I just have to believe it could have been even a little bit better. Although, you know, you can't complain about the crops that we had in our area. Kind of a little desert out here where we're at, south of us. They had too much rain. North of us, they had a lot of rain as well, but things right around here, north of Glendon, where we farm, turned out to be pretty well. I couldn't have picked the weather like this. If farmers were able to pick the weather, we'd pick the wrong stuff.
Yeah, well, I can understand. When I pick football teams or things to invest in, that doesn't always go great either, so I know that feeling there. Crop prices, I know corn and soybeans in particular have been low. How are they doing right now as we head into a new year?
Disappointing. They're touching the corn and soybeans are down near the contract lows. And it's kind of unusual. Usually about this time of year, they start trending higher. And they're not doing that. They're actually trending lower toward the bottom end of their range. And as disappointing as that is, if you haven't sold any crop, you're still okay.
Yeah, I guess you don't get gains or losses until you sell them. Any theories as to why things are drifting downward rather than the typical uptrend?
Well, all kinds of theories, but I guess the truth of it is that we're great producers. And the corn crop is record. I'm not sure if the soybean crop is record, but both of them are very large. We just aren't very good at getting the crop marketed, and I don't mean locally marketed. I mean nationally and internationally marketed.
Well, this brings up a question about what's happened in some of our trade policy. I know that the Trump administration has used soybeans in particular as a bargaining chip with China and other places as well. And there's been a little bit of fallout from that. Because of that, there's apparently some relief programs in the works or that are being put into place at this time. If you can kind of stay completely out of the politics of the whole thing and look at it objectively, has the Trump administration, with the moves they've made and initially with China and then to kind of try to support the industry a little bit with some subsidies, how have they managed this? Has it been a total train wreck or pretty good long-term strategy, just a few small bumps in the road or somewhere in between? How would you summarize what you've seen from the administration this year?
Boy, that's a good one. I'd have to say that the world picture with, and China's the biggest player in the market. I mean, where they go, things tend to be a lot better. They're going to buy product where it's the cheapest. South America's the cheapest right now on soybeans. I think actually corn is probably cheaper up here than it is buying it from the southern hemisphere at this time. The dollars that are coming from the government are supportive, but honestly, I kind of have mixed emotions about it. It tends to keep the on the expense side, if you're renting land, it tends to keep that higher. Just keeps more players out there competing for the same acres. When if it weren't for the subsidies, things might settle down a little bit, but I don't know if that's good either.
Yeah, it's so complicated, isn't it, when you try to understand it from my perspective, someone who grew up on the farm and am somewhat knowledgeable about things happening, but nowhere near able to talk about all the fine points. You take a look at it and you say, I don't even know what to make of the whole thing. I just know that the prices that you all are getting for your crop versus what it costs to put it in the ground, those prices seem to continue to go up and up and up, and the prices that what you get for it when you pull it out of the field just are not keeping up for a number of different reasons. And it doesn't even seem like we can point to one villain here overall that is the boogeyman here. It just seems that there are a lot of moving parts to this whole thing, which makes it harder to figure out how we fix this, Trigby.
Right. The break-even price for corn in this area is around $4.20 for most growers. Either side of that, cash markets today are anywhere from $3.65 to might be able to pull some $4 corn at the ethanol plants if you waited to deliver for a month or two. On the soybean side, cost of production is somewhere between $10.50 and $11.50, depending what inputs you have to keep the crop healthy and growing and maximize your yield. And of course, the markets right now are under $10, and in some places under $9.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you for. Oh, go ahead.
That's not a winning combination.
It doesn't work. No, it doesn't work. I'm not going to ask you for kind of how you're doing things with Skolnes Farms, but in general, when you have prices that continue to go up on the input side and you have prices on the other side that can't keep up, what do farmers do when you've had a couple of years of this and you're looking forward to next year, and I guess the prognosis is maybe a little bit better, but still a long way to go to kind of balance that equation. And you lose ground a couple years in a row, many farmers have, and now you're trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to do this again for another year when I've been, you know, kicked in the shins pretty hard the last couple of years? What do farmers do when they're in a situation where, you know, it's been hard times and you can't figure out how to fix it exactly, and you have to, I guess, try to go to the bank and tell them, hey, I'm going to keep going the best I can. What can farmers do at times like this?
Well, the bank won't let you keep doing that. Most of them can still remember the 80s when it was easy to borrow money early in the 80s, and then when things went to hell, why, a lot of farmers went broke in the late 80s. Most guys are just starting to look where they can cut costs, their input costs. Fortunately, some of the fertilizer prices have come down, not a lot, but they've come down. They seem to be moving in the right direction. Other input costs seem to be steady yet. Seed prices are steady, and you just have to be a shopper. I mean, when things get really serious, you'll start cutting things like crop insurance. That can be a big ticket, but when you do that, the risks go up dramatically.
When do we get to the point, Trigvi, or are we there already when we start to see farmers hand the keys back to the bank and say, I can't do this anymore? Are we there, or do we have a little more time yet?
Oh, I think we're a season or more away from that. In the valley, I think there's some cash reserves that growers can rely on, but the expenses are so high to put a crop in, anywhere from $600 to $1,400, depending on dollars per acre that it costs to put a crop in, depending on whether it's corn, soybeans, or sugar beets. And you still have to have a crop to make that work. So it's depending on so many things. The odds are huge to put a crop in and be successful at it. But we're all used to that, and we do it every year.
What does your gut feel about 2026?
Well, plant your corn early next year. I guess that's the best advice you can give somebody. We're relying on the weather. You still have to be lucky. It's, like I said, we're great producers. Just have to get the markets turned around, and actually somebody somewhere has to suffer for prices to come up in the region as a whole.
Yeah. The whole conversation about mental health in the farm community has probably never been as important as it is right now. Do you, just from your sense of things, what you hear and people you talk to, is there more of a acceptance or willingness in the farm community for people to find somebody to dump their bucket once in a while just to be able to cope with the difficult times that many people are having?
You know, I don't know much about that, Steve, but I do know that farmers are anxious in the spring all the time. I mean, you're anxious to get a crop in. You're anxious to see it emerge. You're anxious to see it growing through the summer, and then there's harvest. I mean, there's no shortage of anxiety when you're farming, but it's part of being a farmer.
Hmm.
Everybody that's farming can handle that. It's when things go south several years in a row that they can pile up on you.
I know you to be an optimistic, positive sort of person. How do you stay positive during tough times? There's obviously blessings along the way, but the reality is things are difficult. How do you stay positive yourself and stay optimistic about the days ahead?
Well, you have to have some faith, faith in God, but faith in yourself that when you put one foot in front of the other, you're going to be moving forward. Take some time to maybe develop that. When you're young, you've got it because you're young. And when you're a little older, you've got it because, well, you've been through a lot. You know what to expect.
Yes. You mentioned earlier get your crop in early. Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Oh, when the season presents itself and the conditions are right, and farmers already know this, you put the crop in not so much by the calendar, but by the conditions.
Yes.
Sure, you got to watch the calendar. You're not planting much before April 1st, but, you know, you can roll the dice and plant your crop earlier. And seems to work out these past 20, 30 years. The springs have gotten earlier and the falls have gotten later.
Yes.
we didn't have a killing frost last year until, I think, the 23rd of October. It's almost a record.
Yeah. We've had wonderful falls. You're right about that. Trigby, it's such a treat visiting with you. Thanks for sharing your heart and your perspective and wisdom with us today. All the best to you in the new year, and I hope that it's a great one for you and everybody there at Skolnes Farms.
Yep. Thank you, Steve, and happy new year to everybody.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Trigby Skolnes, one of the best. 454, Steve Hallstrom Show, back after this. All right, all the newspapers do it this time of year as the old year fades. I want to know who your person of the year is. It can be anybody in your world, any context. Only person it has to make sense to is you. Would love to hear from you today, 701-271-1100. You can email me, studio@flagfamily.com. You can text 701-237-1590. Would especially love to get a few calls on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line about this one. There's a lot of people that come to mind for me. Donald Trump is obviously the first one that comes to mind because of just it's hard to find somebody of a higher profile who's done more to get the country thinking differently and moving differently than him. So he's an obvious answer. Charlie Kirk, certainly. Erica Kirk, you could point to her as well. But we lost a legend. We in the span of 5 years, we lost Rush Limbaugh and Charlie Kirk. You're talking about two of the, you know, we're in 2025, the people of the century to this point for conservatives. No doubt about that. I've got a few other suggestions. I'll pass those along in the next hour. Steve Hallstrom Show, hour two, coming up next. Hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show is brought to you in part by Roe and Joe Junk Haul and Removal. When it's got to go, call Roe and Joe. That's what they say. Whether it's commercial, residential, they do some demolition as well. But whenever you need to get that pile of junk out of there, you got to call Roe and Joe. They're the people that can get it done for you. John Minton and his team, they get the work done, and you don't want to call those 800 out-of-town people. They don't know how we get things done here. You want a guy who's been a 30-year combat vet, who's been in this community for a while, and knows people that he works with. And when you've got that kind of sincerity, you can look a guy in the eye and say, I'm going to get that job done for you. That's why you call Roe and Joe. Go to roeandjoejunk.com, roenjojunk.com, Roe and Joe Junk Haul and Removal. When it's got to go, call Roe and Joe. 507 here. Before we get to top 5 at 5, let's hit the text line here. And you can send a text in as well, 701-237-1590. I would much rather you call the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, 701-271-1100, because if you call, I might be able to cheer you up. Because I got a text from somebody over the top of the hour break who needs a little cheering up. My goodness. And look, I'll take whatever criticism you want to send my way, but sometimes I kind of look at what is being said to me and I go, are you okay? Here's a text. Steve, farmers are generally doing all right in Minnesota and North Dakota with some exceptions. Please do not try to make your listeners feel sorry for the farmers. Thank you. Your guest said the cost per acre was $600 to $1,400 per acre. What makes up the wide range in cost per acre? Please start asking some relevant questions. okay. So Look, all I can do is try to tell you what I was trying to do in the interview. And I guess I'm not trying to make anybody feel sorry for anybody. If you feel sorry for someone based on questions I'm asking, then that's up to you. I'm asking questions that I think people would want to know. And I try not to ask fact-based questions a whole lot. I try to ask questions that get at emotions and perspective and context and things like that, because that's what people can give you that you can't do any other way. And so the questions I ask are, how do you... if you think that I'm making up a story about high inputs and low commodities, I don't know what to tell you. And that's true for everybody. And yes, there are some farmers that are doing fine, but I don't know that there are too many farmers who love the price of the commodities compared to the cost of their inputs. Crystal sugar, and you know, if you want to say, well, the beet farmers did okay, well, they got about half the price, $43 a ton versus, what was it, 78 last year? And so there's no question. When I talk to business owners around the community, around the area, they're telling me that we struggle too, because when the farmers are not doing well, you know, they don't come and buy cars and trucks and insurance and food and jewelry and sporting goods and things like that. So I promise you I'm not making it up that it's difficult for farmers right now. I felt like there were better questions to ask than why is there such a spread in price per acre. I don't want to say it's common sense, but you know as well as I do that you have low-end and high-end land. And low-end land might, you know, be, you know, different makeup, might be, you know, the topography where it's harder to farm. It might be closer or further away from the elevator. You know, there's just a lot of different things that makes a parcel of land more or less expensive. So I don't know. There were other things I wanted to ask than, you know, explain to me why some land is worth more than the others, other parcels, because it felt to me like that was maybe not as important. But I'm sorry I disappointed you on the interview. I don't know. I hope your day goes better, because it sounds like you might not be in a very good mood today. So I hope that turns better for you. 5:11, Steve Alstrom Show. Let's get into the top five at five. These are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories that are tracking around in the news cycle today. So I'm going to start with a story that I think is might be the story of 2025. And if you would have asked me a week ago, I might have said something different. But story number one in my mind is that Tim Walz and Keith Ellison, the governor and attorney general, have been summoned to Capitol Hill by congressional Republicans in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee to testify before a panel in February about the ongoing social services fraud in the state of Minnesota. This comes just a day after the Trump administration said it would freeze hundreds of millions of dollars of child care funds to Minnesota. And they're going to be hearing also in January from some of the whistleblowers on this thing. I have watched with a little bit of amusement at people who want to make Donald Trump the bad guy here, saying, you can't do that. There's a lot of people that need that money. Donald Trump, he's the problem here. And I say to any of you who would think that, you know what? There's one way to make sure that the federal government isn't withholding money to you for fraud and waste and outright corruption. And that is, don't allow fraud and waste and corruption to happen in the first place. This is not a Donald Trump thing. This is a Tim Walz, whoever, Keith Ellison, who are you, whoever you want to talk to, but it goes back to Tim Walz. So I would say it this way. Nice job, Tim, screwing it up for everybody by not being able to keep on track, on top of what's happening in your state. So they're going to have to, I don't know. They probably won't go. They probably won't want to do it. But that's story number one. Story number two is this, that I learned something today that I did not know. A Fargo Fire Department has responded to about 14,600 calls this year, but a majority of them are not fire. And I guess I knew that most calls were for other things, but I didn't know that it was this high of a percent. as much as 75%, or as many as 75% of the calls they get are emergency services related, not dealing with fires, motor vehicle accidents, cardiac arrest, any type of medical assistance as well. I did not know it was that high. 1,400 calls a day. Addison, do some quick math for me, would you? 14,600 divided by 365. I'm just curious how many calls a day that turns into. 14,600. You got a calculator there? Okay. 14,600 divided by 365.
40.
So that's a couple an hour that they're getting called on. And again, most of it is not fire. So there you go. Thank you, Addison. Story number three, I put this story in the list because you just got to be super careful this time of year. Yeah, it's been cold, but maybe not quite cold enough. Three vehicles broke through the ice on Pelican Lake in Crow Wing County. This is not the Pelican Lake down by Fergus Falls area. This is one in Crow Wing County further north. The sheriff's office responded to three incidents over the last 24 hours. There between Sunday night and Monday. So please, please, please be careful on that ice. It is still dangerous. CNBC has story number four. The Department of Justice has 5.2 million pages of Jeffrey Epstein-related documents left to review. This according to reports from the New York Times and Reuters. I am one of those people that want every answer on this. I want every shred of every document released. And let us figure out how much, you know, how offensive we or how offended we want to be, how much we care, all of that. But I want everything out and we're getting there. But oh, my gosh, 5.2 million pages. Now, with all the AI scanning and research tools we have, hopefully this can get taken care of fairly soon. But 400 lawyers from different government divisions are being recruited to go over those records. It'll take until late January. There's got to be a better way to do this, isn't there? Do we need 400 lawyers spending a whole month? That's a lot of money. Can't we just throw the stack out there? At this point, someone has got to know kind of what's in there. Is this new information we haven't seen before or what? So at this point, we get it. There's a lot of people that are not guilty that are just thrown in there by association. We understand. We can figure that out. We're smart enough. It's okay. But we want all of this out because we want to know who did what on this deal. And number five, this is really interesting to me, and it might not be to you. I admit this one's a little bit wonky. But economist Mark Zandi, who is one of the top guys at Moody Analytics, these guys are generally nonpartisan, non-political. And they'll give you a sense of kind of where the tea leaves are on this before people start talking about it in the news. So this guy, Zandi, said that labor market weakness and uncertainty about inflation and politics will push the Fed to lower rates aggressively in early 2026. He sees three rate cuts in the first half of 2026. Now, that would be interesting because now we're talking about You're 1.75% lower, basically 2% lower than we were at the start of this year, if he is right. I think the jobs thing is legitimate. I think with inflation, or not inflation, with automation and government job cuts, I think that is a real thing. And I think now, because the federal government is doing it, we're starting to see more local municipalities start to let people go too, because in the quote-unquote old way of doing things before Trump got into office, nobody ever let go a government employee. It just never happened. Well, we can't let people go. Well, that happens in the private sector all the time. But it's like someone finally did it, and now people are like, oh, well, gosh, you know, maybe we could actually do this. Maybe this is a thing that we could actually do. Isn't that interesting that we could actually have something like that happen? So I think the labor market weakness is a thing. I think there is uncertainty about inflation, but I see more and more people every day telling you what I have told you all year long, that the inflation, yes, there's going to be some, but it is not going to be what they thought. They were wrong about that. They were wrong about GDP. All the smart guys and ladies in economics have been wrong about inflation. And I am not saying I'm brilliant on this. I listen to people that make sense to me, like Art Laffer and Larry Kudlow and those kind of people. And they explain it to me in a way that makes me say, yeah, these tariffs, it's not an inflationary problem. You might have higher costs of things for a while, but this is not what you're being told that it is. And GDP is the same way. They tell you GDP is going to be 1.6. We were at 3 point something and 4.3 in the last two quarters now. So they've been wrong about all that. But I think they're wrong about inflation again. So we'll see. But if there is enough of that uncertainty to push rates lower, I do think that's good, because I don't think that inflation will be an issue, even if we cut by another percent. I just don't see that that's going to turn into, with the labor market resettlement we have, I just don't see that's an issue. And that rounds out the top five at five today. We'll see. 2026 is going to be a really, really interesting year. Can't wait to see how it all unfolds, but I think it's going to be a very good one in our local economy and nationally as well. And we're all apparently going to get massive tax refunds when we file our returns here in the next couple of months. 519, Steve Alstrom Show. Those are what I believe to be the five most impactful stories that pass the so what test for me. All right, when we come back, what are Minnesotans really getting with this new paid leave plan coming in the new year? I'll run down the details next. Have you noticed how many Vision Fords and Lincolns that you're seeing here in the metro? Well, one of them, my friend, is mine, and I love it. It's a Lincoln Navigator, nicest car I've ever had. And when I went to get in that car for the first time, I was like, this is what car buying should be all about. They make it easy, simple. When you sit in that vehicle, you know that it's a well put together vehicle, and it was absolutely fantastic. I got it with a few miles on, but it looked brand new, felt brand new, smelled brand new. Those are the extra little touches that they do at Vision Ford Lincoln. They've got 18 service drivers as well to get you to your car, or to get your car to you when you have a service, a visit, an oil change, or something like that. So a great place to get a new vehicle. And if you go to drivewithvision.com, you can see the vehicles that they have in stock. And you can also learn more about the great options they have for getting a job there, too. So lots of good things to be found at drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Okay, from the text line, Steve, I've heard for a while you say that you didn't trust inflation and it's way higher. Now I hear you say inflation isn't that bad. Can you explain my misunderstanding and your thoughts on inflation? So this is on me more than you, my friend. So it's a little nuanced here. So what I'm trying to say is this: the Federal Reserve moves its interest rates up or down based on what they see in two things, the job market and inflation. And they have got a few different inflation numbers they look at, but core CPI is what they call it, is the one that they use most likely. Now, the things, I have said this to you many times, that the things that are costing the most and that are just flying up are not things that are factored into the CPI inflation number. So the cost of things is higher, and I've told you that. I've said before, every invoice I get is 10% higher, software or insurance or things like that here at the business. But if you look at CPI, those things are not, they have not gone up as fast or as far. So what I'm saying is that the cost of living is high, insurance and things like that definitely high, but the things that the Fed is looking at, if they're saying, I'm waiting for those things to go ballistic, it's not going to happen. Now, this is just my opinion, but over the last year or so, that generally has been proven right. So you get housing, transportation, food and beverages, medical care, clothes and footwear, things like that. Those things that they're looking at, yeah, they're going to go higher over time, but not in a way that's going to, you know, be a massive problem. So therefore, the Federal Reserve should be able to be fairly nimble on moving interest rates down. But the CPI, when you take a look at what we're talking about there on the Consumer Price Index, you don't have, there's a lot of things that you don't have in there that are some of the things that have gone up quite a bit with life here in the last, you know, year or two. You don't have property taxes. You don't have homeowners insurance and things like that. You do have, you know, rent if you're talking about that. But you don't have all those things that have been kind of the big problems. And in the business sector, it seems like we've really seen it. Where if you have an accountant, if you've outsourced your accounting services, if you are using, you know, software of some kind or phone support, those things have gone up. So it's a little bit of a, I hate to say, K-shaped recovery on that. I don't like that term either, but that's what I'm trying to say. Things are getting expensive, but not the things that the Fed is looking at. They're not getting expensive as fast. I hope that makes some sense. All right, 528 here on the Steve Holcim Show. I want to get in to a little bit with you on the Minnesota new paid leave act. And since we're just a couple minutes away now from bottom of the hour news, I'm going to push that back to next segment and hit that here in just a minute. But I don't want to rush that. And it's very important. If you work in Minnesota or if you have a business in Minnesota, you probably know this already. Well, if you have a business, you do. But if you are a worker, you may not know a lot about this unless your employer has done a good job of bringing you along and looping you in on all this stuff here. So we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to give a little shout out today to the NDSU women's basketball team. They are on a really nice roll. They've won 9 straight games, and they have not done that since they reclassified to Division I 21 years ago. So we got a little bit of history cooking here with the Bison ladies there. So good job, Jory Collins, and the Summit League ladies there playing on the north side of town. They've got a wonderful player on their team named Avery Conan. And she is, I think she had multiple opportunities to leave and go to major college places and came back to NDSU. Very, very talented player. So really fun to see there. I do get some texts every once in a while or emails asking about the Bison football portal and if the Bison football team is losing any of their players. And yes, they are. For a while, they had a lot of guys saying, I'm going to come back. But now they've had 3 or 4 that have said we're jumping in. And the one yesterday, Bo Johnson, the all-conference offensive tackle, he's 6'6", 300 pounds, has 2 years left to play. And apparently the rumor is that he's been offered as much as $1 million if he gets into the portal and goes to, you know, Ohio State or someplace like that. So, you know, one of the Bison running backs from last year went to Miami, and now they're in the, you know, national tournament. A lot of people think they could win it all. So some of these really good Bison players and South Dakota State kids, and occasionally you get some UND kids too there, they have the kind of talent to compete at the very highest level. And it's hard to be mad at those kids, honestly. You're like, oh, come on, dude. Come on back. Because Gray Zabel did it, right? Came on back. Bryce Lance, the receiver, did it. But, gosh, you can't blame a kid if he's going to get $1 million a year. That's $2 million over the next 2 years playing football going somewhere else. And NDSU's got an NIL program, but they just can't compete with that. So we wish him well, but it's tough to see those guys leave. A couple of really good defensive players are leaving as well. So I would hate to be a basketball or a football coach at the Division I level these days. You got to re-recruit your team every year, and you got a payroll to take care of now, and yikes. So but there will certainly be a lot of good football still being played on the north side of Fargo. All right, it's 5:31, Steve Holcim Show. Time for a check of news. Make sure you're going to am1100theflag.com if you haven't already and register to win the Valentine's Day in Vegas giveaway presented by Alsager Meats and Kingpins. It's going to be an absolute blast. On Monday, we start drawing qualifiers for the big drawing party. So January 5th, 8 a.m., 10 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours. If you hear your name, you'll have 11 minutes to call in and qualify. 2 round-trip tickets to Vegas, hotel included, and you know how we do it here. We don't make it just any hotel. We give you a nice place to stay. We've got it already. I'm trying to remember what the place is. I can't recall. But it's a 4-star out there. It's really good. You get 2 tickets to see The Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day. And again, it's not just any old tickets. These are middle center, about 15 rows up. You don't want to be front row there. You want to be about 15 rows back. I think they're the best seats in the house. And you get $500 cash. Going to be a trip of a lifetime. And I can't wait for all that to happen coming up next week. Okay. Want to talk about the Minnesota Paid Leave Act. If you are an employee in Minnesota, this is a benefit coming your way. The problem for you is that you probably haven't been told a whole lot about what this is going to really be or do. Now, if you got a good company, they've maybe walked through it. But there's a lot of small businesses who are like, I don't know, maybe I'll just try to even ignore it. But this is a as big of a glacier to move in employee benefits forever. And it's being paid for by the employee, the employer, and the state. So here's how it works. If you work in Minnesota and you have a health issue or you need family care or bonding, you can get up to 20 weeks off every year. There's 52 weeks in a year. You can get up to 20 weeks of time off for this. Now, the definition of health issue and family care and bonding is pretty loose, to be quite honest with you. When you talk about family, it doesn't mean just your family. If you make the case that, you know, my friend or whatever is a family member almost to me in reality, kind of a de facto family member, and this person needs help, then you can get the time off to provide care for them. So health issue, again, can be, you know, I've got anxiety. Oh, okay. And your employer really can't do much about it. You've got to apply for it. And in theory, you have to be approved by the state of Minnesota to take it. But nobody really expects them to say no a whole lot. And if they do, I don't know what kind of criteria they would be using. So anyway, the rules are a little loose. So people will definitely use it. They've done something like this in Washington, the state. And people ended up using it way more than everybody expected, which it does make sense that people would want to use it if you had the benefit. You will pay part of the cost of this plan. Now, your employer can pay the whole thing, and it's a little under 1% total payment of your salary, your compensation that goes into the kitty that administers the program. Most small businesses, the employer and the employee are each going to pay about 3.3 or 0.4 of your paycheck or whatever. Not 4%, but 3/10 or 4/10 of a percent. So it's not a big cost. It'll be for most people, you know, maybe a few bucks a month. It's not going to be a whole lot there. I think I saw the numbers that we ran that it's going to be something like $5 to $8 a month, something like that, that the employee will pay. So it's not a huge payment to them, but there are more catches on it than that. So what $50, $100, something like that on an annual basis for that. So it's not a whole lot. You can take it a day at a time. But the preference is for full weeks. You do not get your full pay, though. And it's a sliding scale based on how much you make, but it's anywhere from 50 to 90% of your average weekly wage. So it sounds great that you might be able to take it, but you'll be taking a pay cut for those weeks. And if you can get by with that, then that's fine, but most people really aren't able to do that. It doesn't replace your company's paid time off program by law, but your employer certainly could decide to take that away if they wanted to. So, and you are basically guaranteed to get your job back when you come back there as well. So here's the thing. You've got a lot of people that don't know that they are going to have money coming out of their paycheck. And one of our employees told us over in Grand Rapids, we were having the employee meeting about it. He said, I can't afford to be gone if I can't get my full pay. And we're like, yes, that's right. And you won't. You can take your paid time off or your vacation time or sick time, whatever your company does, but you can't really afford to take it, but it's a nice benefit to have, is what I've kind of said all along. Now, the problem with this for businesses is if you have, say, you know, five people at your coffee shop, and one of them says, I'm taking 20 weeks. Well, what are you supposed to do then to kind of fill that gap? How is that going to work? And so you're going to see service probably suffer. The business is likely not going to be able to pay for having someone else come in because they're paying already, you know, for part of this leave that you've got going on. So it's going to create, I think, a bottleneck in a lot of workplaces to figure out how is this going to be working there. So if you got somebody who's gone for, you know, 15, 20 weeks, they don't have a giant pool of workers to cover for that. So there is also a concern for abuse on this. 100% there is. We've seen that already. I mean, if you really work hard, you can abuse any program. And we've seen how little oversight there is in Minnesota for this and how we've completely stopped even trying to, you know, factor in, you know, is there fraud? Is there abuse? Are people doing the right thing? So there's all kinds of problems that way too. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that the tough thing is it's being sold to employees as though it's a perfect plan. But it's not, because they have to pay in. It's not free money. You don't get your full paycheck there. So you may want to take this, but you may not be able to take this. And then the other thing I've said often, even on this show when I've been talking through the pieces on this one, is you are going to pay higher prices for the things that you have to buy in Minnesota and the services that you have to hire for. Because think about this. Everybody's got to pass this benefit along. At a time when your health insurance is going up, your property insurance is going up, all your other things are going up. So the employee gets their check and they have less money in their paycheck because they've had to pay. And you don't have a choice. You have to do it whether you ever use the benefit or not. So you're going to go down the road then with your paycheck and you're going to go to the store and you're going to pay higher prices there because that company has had to figure out a way to take care of it too. All these hidden expenses that I've been talking about. And then you're going to go home, get your property tax statement, and that's going to go up too because all the cities, counties, schools, everybody in the municipal world has got to give this benefit to their people too. So the cost of government is already through the roof. It's going to absolutely get worse. So look, I'm all for taking care of people, and you have to be a little careful when you're talking to your employees not to be grumpy about this, but there would have been much better ways to do this if you would have incentivized businesses through like payroll tax credits or something to provide something that might have worked. But the people that make these rules down in St. Paul, they don't work for a living. I hate to say it this way, and I'm typecasting a little bit, but you're generally talking about this was a completely pushed through by Democrats. Republicans had nothing to do with it. And really, we're not all that interested in the plan altogether. So it's pushed through by Democrats. And these are not generally people that have made a payroll, founded a company, built a business, invented a product, found a niche. I mean, anything like that. So they don't know. The Democrats don't know that these things have real impacts. They just know that their ideology says, if we're going to be true believers and try to redistribute wealth and give more money to people for no reason at all, these are the kind of things we have to do. And they you know, patted themselves on the back and applauded themselves, how courageous and how insightful we were. I'm telling you, this program is going to be a disaster. It just is. And if you think inflation has been real in Minnesota so far, just wait, brother, sister. Just wait. If you let business people take care of doing business the best way possible and taking care of their employees, they will do that. There is this narrative that business owners are just trying to break the back of their people. Well, in this day and age, if you mistreat your employees, they're going to leave you. If you're not paying fair wages, they're going to go somewhere else. So this is communism, socialism, whatever you want to call it. in a very real form. And you're going to pay higher prices everywhere you go in Minnesota because of this. Higher than you would typically pay with just normal inflation on anything, because now we've absolutely poured gas on that fire. It's 547. Let's bring Gerard into the conversation. He wants to talk about the paid family leave bill. Hey, Gerard, how are you?
Hey, Steve. Long time no see. I got a couple questions about this. You were saying, you know, there's some loopholes and whatnot. Someone might be able to say, hey, my buddy, you know, they're like family to me. Can I take time off to help take care of them? What part of the bill is that in? I'd like to go and read that. What line of the bill is that in?
I don't have the bill in front of me. I'm going by a summary that was put out by the Minnesota Department of Commerce. So that's
where can I actually like read the bill then?
Oh, it's easy.
To kind of find this stuff out.
Go. It's a simple web search can get you anything you're looking for on that. The page that I have used most often is if you go to paidleave.mn.gov. Okay. That's the Minnesota paid leave page that the state government has put up.
And then I've got a follow-up. So
yeah,
you're saying prices are going to increase. So
yes, like, they'll have
about
to.
How much? How much do you figure? So like what? Gas is like $2.30 here in Moorhead. Gallon of milk's like $4. Like how much? What percentage increase should we expect from something like
this?
$3 off of $1,000 for payroll. So what? I make $4,800 a month. That's going to be like $13 a month I'm going to pay extra?
Yeah, on a yearly basis, yeah, it'll be something like that. The problem that you run into, though, it's not necessarily you and what you're paying, but if the company you work for has 100 employees, they have to take an equal share of that as well. And when businesses are forced to raise when businesses are given another increase to what they do, then they're going to pass that along. They're not going to swallow that. They're going to pass that along in the price of what they pay. It'll also lead to lower wages because they're going to be more reluctant to increase compensation going forward because they'll be stretched further than they have been before. And when you go to the store and buy a product, remember, like, let's just say you go to Walmart and buy a sponge, okay, whatever that is. It's not just the Walmart that has to raise their prices. It's the trucker that brought that sponge there, the company that, if the company produced it in the state, if it's a homegrown product, they have had to pay more to raise, you know, food prices or whatever. So everybody's going to pass along a little bit more. How much? I don't know. It's probably a pretty easy research piece. Just go to, you know, Gemini or something and say, what's the expected there? I've not looked into that. All I know is that budgets are stretched a lot already, and this is not going to help. And I don't think most employees understand that they have to pay for this, whether they want to or not. And I don't think most employees understand it's not paid time off. It is a fraction of what, a pretty good fraction. Like I said, it's a good benefit, but it's not, you're going to have to take a pay cut if you use it.
What's the percentage of your pay stub that you're going to be getting? I know for like long-term disability, what is it like? 75% of your paycheck for long-term disability? So What's the percentage of your paycheck that you'd be getting for something like this?
What percentage of your – I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. Are you asking – it's a point – anywhere from 0.33 to 0.44 is the share –
Yeah, but when you're getting the benefit itself, how much – like if I need to take time off.
Yeah.
For a new baby or whatever.
Right.
You know, how much of my paycheck am I getting?
You are getting somewhere between 50 and 90% depending on your wage scale. The more you make, less you get. The less you are paid, the more you get. It's designed for people at lower to middle income areas there. So it's and again, the business can pay the whole thing if they want to. I've not heard many people that will. Hey, I got to run, Drew. I got a few phone calls stacking up, but thanks for the call. Good questions. And all that's available. Just it's a simple web search on some of those details you're looking for. Let's go to Craig on line two. Hey, Craig.
Well, I'm going to say this from this is a great thing for a big business. But I tell you what, for someone that worked for smaller businesses my whole life, we knew that if we could lose you that for that long, we wouldn't need you in the first place. This is going to be a burden on people when all of a sudden they're already cutting things tight. There's a lot of business coming in, And you got two or three people that are going home for God knows how many weeks. It's ridiculous. And did Rob Port vote for this? Do you know?
Did Rob Port's a North Dakota columnist, so no, he wouldn't have anything to do with
it. No. I'm sorry, not Rob Port. My senator, Rob, the weatherman.
Kupek. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob.
Yes. Yep. Yep. He voted. Yeah, I mean, every Democrat voted for it. Yes.
I'm telling you, Minnesota, good luck.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Mike in Yulin. Mike wants to talk about this, too. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Steve. I tell you, you know, these Democrats don't give us senior citizens one word, one ounce of thought in this. Our budgets are tight enough as it is. And what this bill sounds like, they just threw us senior citizens under the bus. And I got to tell you, this really irks me. It really does, Steve.
You know, Mike, I don't know that it's going to be a direct cost to our seniors. I would just say that, again, you're talking about higher cost of living because you're going to get the cost of this is paid to you. And the part I haven't really talked much about yet is, so you're talking about 0.33, 0.44, a couple percentage points. Well, the state of Minnesota has to fill that gap. They're going to pay most of this. And what does that mean? Mm-hmm. If the state is getting a new program to give out, then everybody else who pays taxes in some way or another is going to have to pay the bill. The government doesn't have any money. The only money they have is the stuff that they take from us. So there's going to be all these hidden costs along the way here that I just don't think people are not able to think through it all. And like the last caller, Gerard, said, this isn't like, you know, it's going to be a massive cost increase for an employee or a massive cost increase for a business. But if you got a lot of employees, it adds up fast. And on the employee side, you might want to take it, but you can't afford to because you're only getting 50 to 90% of what you used to get. Most of us can't take less from our paychecks. And so all these things make it so it sounds really good. But in reality, it's just going to be a tough thing to make work. Mike, thanks. I got to run, my man. I'm up against the break, but you have a happy new year, sir. Thanks so much for listening to the program here today. All right, back with some closing thoughts after this. All right, well, that's going to just about do it for our show today. Just want to say thanks for being with me here today. And again, I love the idea of taking care of employees, whether it's our company here at Grand Rapids. But you're talking about a couple $100 a year, maybe even more than that, that people are going to have taken from their paychecks, whether they want to or not. And most employees are in a spot where they can't afford to lose that $220, $230, whatever the average is. But again, it's a nice benefit to have. If you're doing well, if you've saved up a lot of money, you'll be able to use that a little bit more than others. And so things will work out. They always do. And should be a very interesting thing. I just think there's going to be a lot of problems with this in 2026. All right, my friend, have a great night. Happy New Year, and keep on flying that flag.